Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
We can have all the prophecies in the world declared and spoken over our lives and go through the entire year and never have one word fulfilled within our lives if we don't actually do the things that are necessary to appropriate that within our lives, activate it within our lives, and then begin to see it come forth. And I see so many believers that I've seen them. They've come up, I've seen people come up and get a prophecy almost every week. They've got a notebook full of prophecies, but you never really see anything taking place within their lives. And I'm making this declaration over this church body that we will not come to the end of 2017 and not see these prophetic words and declarations fulfilled over our lives. I'm going to say it again. See, the way you respond will many times determine what measure you receive. And I declare that at the end of the year, we're going to have a testimony of the fulfillment of the word of the Lord within our lives. Amen? See, yes, we shout and we rejoice whenever we hear the word of the Lord and we hear the prophecies that God is speaking and declaring over our lives. But understand this, it's not just so that we can get excited about what God's saying. He is speaking it so that he can fulfill it within our lives. Amen? How many believe that God wants to fulfill what he's spoken over your life? Do you believe that God wants to do what he said that he will do? Amen? So 2017 is a year of turnaround. This is what is being prophesied and declared. Not only have we shared that, not only did we declare that, but it's being spoken every place that I've looked. I mean, it's been a theme. Two specific things that I've heard as a theme, and that is the restoration of a dream and also turnaround. It's very interesting that the Holy Spirit is speaking the same thing. So God is bringing turnaround. Look at somebody, say, God's bringing turnaround. What is a turnaround? A turnaround is a change in the natural course of events that has been established. As a matter of fact, the dictionary actually defines turnaround as a dramatic improvement in a bad or unsatisfactory situation. You know, some of you have had some bad and unsatisfactory situations, but the Lord is speaking over your life today that 2017 is your year of turnaround. Can everybody say amen? Amen. See, what a turnaround is, it's when the natural course of events are changed by divine intervention. And we all need God to intervene in different situations and circumstances. And the Lord has been speaking that this is a year whenever he would actually do this. You need to understand this. God is not only able, but he is willing, and he desires to bring turnaround within your life. Hear this. You don't have to beg God to turn things around within your situation. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to beg God to turn things around in your situation. He wants to do it even more than you want to see it done. He wants to establish it and bring it forth even more than you actually desire it for yourself. So this is a season when God is bringing turnaround, and we're going to see it in this year. I was sitting in the living room of my house the other day, and just the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, in not many days, there is going to be great financial wealth that is going to be released into the members of this church. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know, hear this, I don't know how that's going to happen. You know, I can't, there, you know, sometimes God does, well, I'll just say not just sometimes, but many times, God does things in ways that just blows our mind. Would you look at somebody and say, we have a blow your mind God? I mean, he'll do things that will take you by surprise sometimes. And you know what? We've already seen some things that already began since the beginning of this year and the end of last year. But I'm declaring to you, I hear the Lord saying, don't give up on your promise. The Lord says the answer is coming and the manifestation is being brought forth by the Spirit of the Lord. Can everybody say, yes, Lord? Hallelujah. There is some resolving of some legal situations that God is going to cause to come to an end. I don't know who you are this morning, but there's some folks that are here that you've been in some legal battles, and I'm declaring by the Spirit of the Lord that God is bringing a resolution to those things, and God is ruling in your favor. Here, once again, God is ruling in your favor. Hallelujah. Somebody say favor. Hallelujah. I believe that favor is being granted from the Lord. Amen. Now, in order for there to be turnaround, what we see biblically is it was always required that somebody be involved and do something. Understand this. God must have someone here on earth to co-labor with him for his will to be done. Now, we know that his will is for things to turn around within your life. However, there must be people that are willing to co-labor with him in order for that to actually take place. Let me say it like this. It's not automatically going to happen. It's not just going to happen because we want it. It's not just going to happen because God said it. It's going to happen because we choose to co-labor with him and we begin to get involved with what he's doing. We begin to walk in a realm of obedience, amen? But the divine principle is God must have someone here on earth to co-labor with him for his will to be done. Write this down. God in his sovereignty has limited himself to what man will allow. I'll say that again. God in his sovereignty has limited himself to what man will allow. In other words, God will not do something just because he desires to do it, because in his sovereignty, he has limited himself to what man will actually allow him to do. In other words, if those who do not want to be saved, even though it's his will, they will not be saved. It's not because God didn't want to save them. It's because they would not allow salvation to be brought forth within their lives. Jesus said this. I want you to write this down. I know you know it already. But whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you bind is bound. What you loose is loose. Now, you know, many times people begin to make the focus on binding, but the reality is the real key word there is you. Did you get that? The key word in that scripture is you. Look at somebody and say, you are important. Look at somebody else and say, you is important. The word you is important in this passage of scripture. And Jesus says, whatever you bind will be bound. And whatever you loose will be loose. Let me say it like this. If you don't bind, then nothing's going to be bound. And if you don't loose, nothing is going to be loose. The only way that things are going to be bound and the only way that things are going to be loose is that you're going to have to begin to participate and begin to do what God has commanded you to do. Can everybody say amen today? Jesus said that we were to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What he was actually teaching the disciples was this, you need to begin to pray heaven into earth. Now understand this, if the will of God is automatically done and the will of God is automatically accomplished, then there is absolutely no need for us to pray. Why would we pray if the will of God is automatically going to be done? If we're going to see the kingdom of God come with power and authority, why would we need to pray? We have to understand that God cannot do things here on the earth unless people actually co-labor with him. See, you are important to the kingdom of God. I'd look at somebody and say, you are important to God. Now, I know that's hard for many people to understand. Maybe because of a low self-esteem, maybe because they never thought that they would be able to do anything, and maybe because of a fatalistic outlook of life that they've had, and they've lived their lives, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. And so they live their lives just thinking and believing that whatever is supposed to happen is going to happen. I want everybody to hear this. That is a lie from hell that has paralyzed many believers and has kept the will of God from being done here in the earth. And what we have to realize is this. If Jesus said to pray for his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, it is his will then for his will to be done, and he's waiting for somebody to pray that. Amen. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman that will actually function and operate, begin to join hands and join arms with him and co-labor with him. Hallelujah. How many say, I'm willing to co-labor with the Lord today? God's always been looking for a man. God's always been looking for a woman. So that he's always been looking for somebody that he can work with and work through. You know what? We made a decision as a church body. Lord, you don't have to look any further. Hallelujah. We're willing to do whatever you say. We will work with you. We will begin to co-labor with the Lord, and God will do great and powerful things. Can everybody say amen once again? God must have somebody that he can flow through. Now, so I can dive into the meat of this message, and I may not be able to finish it this morning, and if I don't, we'll finish it next week. But I want everybody to understand there are principles that we see biblically that will produce turnaround within your life. Again, I want everybody to understand, turnaround and the restoration of a dream and God turning your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy will not automatically happen just because I got up here and preached it. Does everybody understand that? I wish it were that easy. I wish I could just say something and whoo, there we go. You know, it's kind of like wave the magic wand and all of a sudden, bam, it happens. And there are many believers that don't see the plan and purpose and the promise of God fulfilled in their life all because of this. They are not actually functioning in biblical principle that produces what God said. Does everybody understand that? See, there are certain ways that people live that will actually thwart the plan of God and the will of God within their life. And so we have to understand there are things that we see biblically that will actually promote turnaround within the lives of believers. Now, I want to share some stories this morning about particular men and women of God. And we see how that God used these men, how God used these women, and how God brought turnaround within their life in a great and mighty dimension. And you know, I was watching a little bit of the broadcast this morning. I don't know how many of you watch our broadcast or even watch some of the streaming, but a couple of weeks ago, I shared a message. We called it Building Strong, which it was actually out of the book. And by the way, if you don't have that book, I'd encourage you to get it, Building Strong. But anyway, I began to share some things about how that the early church is the pattern for the church today. If we will function and operate and follow the pattern that God has established in that's in the book of Acts, we will see the same things. In other words, if we'll function the way that they functioned, we'll see signs, wonders, and miracles. See, this morning Christy got up, she began to prophesy about signs, wonders, and miracles. But hear this, it's not gonna happen solely because she prophesied it. We gotta do what's necessary. See, God's just telling us, this is what I want you to do. Now get in alignment so I can do what I want to do. You following this? You begin to function and operate, co-labor with me so that I can bring this to pass. And so I began to share that there's a pattern that we see in the early church. And if we will just follow that pattern, if we will just do what we see them doing in the early church, we would have the same results. And I shared a little bit of the testimony I had about really being activated in the prophetic and how I just followed the pattern. And so understand this, if we will actually follow the patterns that are set before us throughout the Word of God, we will see turnaround. In other words, if you see somebody in the Bible and you read a story, you read an account, and there's a turnaround that happens in their lives, there is a biblical principle that is found there that will produce the same thing within your life. It's not like that was the thing that worked for them, but it won't work for you. How many know if it's in the Bible, it'll work? If it's God's Word, it will work for you. And so the first person, and I specifically want to share a little bit about, is Moses. And I know that most of us know a lot about Moses. We, you know, we've heard stories, we've heard accounts. I've preached about Moses and different principles that we find. But I want to really kind of condense some things and make it very concise to you of what things Moses actually did to bring turnaround, not only within his life, but in the entire nation of Israel. Boy, I tell you what, we need some turnaround here in this nation today, amen? And I believe things are turning. I believe that God is on the move. I believe this, and by the way, I know I got some things in my Facebook about witches and stuff like that, you know, wanting to curse our president, et cetera, et cetera. And let me just say this, witches have no power. I mean, understand how I say this. They only have power to the degree that you believe that they have power. And we declare that every word curse is broken and destroyed in the name of Jesus. Just that easy. The power of God on the inside of you is greater than any witch. Listen, the power that they use, there is no comparison to the power of God that dwells on the inside of you. None whatsoever. Amen? And they can do their incantations all they want, but we cannot be cursed, for the shout of a king is among us. Oh, we cannot be cursed, for the shout of a king is among us. Amen? I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am following the commandment of the Lord Most High, ruler of all the earth. Hallelujah. Who all he's got to do is take his finger and do that to Satan and do that to every little thing and every little imp of hell, and they have to flee and run in terror. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, I don't get alarmed whenever I see stuff like that. You know, that's to be expected. And, you know, praise the Lord. The devil is nervous right now. Everybody hear this. The devil's not nervous because of Donald Trump. The devil is nervous because the church is beginning to arise once again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said the church is beginning to arise with power and authority, and we're saying in the name of Jesus, we will not have the rule of hell any longer in the earth. We are those who will begin to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, this is what Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Forceful men begin to take the kingdom. God's raising up some powerful people today. Amen. The church is beginning to rise up. And that's really what this is all about. Demons get upset whenever the church begins to rise up. And for so long, it felt like the church has lost its voice. But I believe that God is restoring the platform, and God is restoring the voice of the church once again. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God's restoring the voice of the church so that we will begin to speak in the land, and we will begin to see revival, restoration, and reformation. Is everybody listening to me today? See, it's not about politics. It's not about political party. It's not even about a leader. That was part of the word of the Lord this morning. What it is about, it's about the church rising up and being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, God will use people wherever they're at, and I believe that God's going to use some people that have political power to implement some change that needs to be changed. But I want you to hear this. What this is really all about is about the church rising up in power and authority. Amen. So Moses, let's talk about Moses here for a minute. The first thing that Moses did that put him on the path to fulfilling destiny and purpose and seeing a turnaround in the nation of Israel. You ready for this? The first thing he did is this. He forsook his past. He had to choose to leave Egypt. What's very interesting, God didn't make Moses leave Egypt. There's no indication that God made Moses leave. Moses chose to leave Egypt. Now, I want everybody to hear this. Many times for you to see turnaround within your life, you may have to forsake some people that are holding you back. You may have to actually cut some strings, maybe some people that may even be good people, but they're just holding you back and keeping you from moving forward in the purpose of God. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying today. You may have to cut some people off. You may have to unfriend them from Facebook. Because there's some people that maybe not deliberately, but they will detour your faith. They'll cause your faith to be misplaced, or they'll water down your faith, or they'll get you to begin to go into a wrong direction. And I'm telling you, hear this, there are many times for you to be able to see turnaround in your life, it means there's some things you're going to have to forsake. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, you can't be conformed to an old way of thinking. You can't be conformed to an old way of doing things. You're going to have to forsake some things that you may have been hanging on to in the past. Listen, you can't experience new wine as long as you remain an old wineskin. You can't see the newness of the Holy Spirit and His power as long as you're trying to do things in an old way. Amen? You have to let go of those things. Look at somebody and say, you got to let go. You see, you got to be willing to let go of the bowl of porridge, and you got to be willing to let it pass you by so that you can get your inheritance. Listen, I don't want the porridge. I want my inheritance. I don't want a bowl of stew. I want my inheritance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm willing to let go of some things of the past so that I can grab hold of what God has for me. Now, you're going to have to hear the Holy Spirit as to the proper application of that. But I will tell you, anytime I can remember whenever we first, this is going all the way back to the late 80s, 1987, we had been a part of a Word of Faith church and been a part of the Word of Faith movement. And again, thank God for the Word of Faith. Thank God for everything that we learned. Thank God for all the truths that are still relevant today. Amen? How many know death and life are still in the power of the tongue? How many know you release your faith with the words of your mouth? The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. We could go on and on. Man, I heard so many messages from Mark 11, 23 and 24. It was amazing. I mean, you couldn't come to a church service without hearing it talked about it at some point in time within the service. And so we were really entrenched in the Word of Faith message, and the Lord divinely and providentially brought us to a ministry that He was using, Christian International. He was using that ministry to propagate the prophetic and to bring forth the understanding of prophets, personal prophecy, all the different elements of the prophetic ministry that we now have received and are active even within this church body today. So, and in many church bodies. But this is the thing that I had to do. There were certain aspects of the way that I used to do things I had to sever myself from in order that I could receive the fullness of everything that God had for me. See, I had been taught for many years you could only prophesy if the Holy Spirit willed, and you had to wait. You know, we would wait in our, it was basically classical Pentecostal theology, and you'd wait till you get a feeling or a vibe, and woo, woo, and then you'd prophesy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody raised in a church like that? Again, thank God I'm not throwing off on anybody, but that was just our understanding. That was our revelation. We had to wait till the Holy Ghost doodad came up and down our spine, and we were doing the chicken jerk before we could do anything. We came into the company of the prophets, and we began to realize there's fresh revelation here. You don't have to wait for a feeling. You don't have to wait for an unction. The unction's already on the inside of you, hallelujah. You could stir up that unction, hallelujah. So I had to be, there were some things I had to be willing to forsake. I had to be willing to leave this. I had to be willing to set it aside. Why? Because God had a greater realm of glory for me. I thought praise and worship was just to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Didn't really have an understanding that I have today about praise as a weapon of spiritual warfare. Didn't have the understanding that praise will actually cause the enemy to run in terror. Didn't have the revelation that praise will silence the enemy. Hallelujah. I didn't have the revelation that whenever I dance, see, I just thought I was just rejoicing. And all of a sudden, a revelation came. I'm not just rejoicing. The Bible says, for those who reverence and worship my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go forth and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked, and they will be ashes underneath the soles of your feet. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen? Well, I had to be willing to augment things. I had to be willing to change some things. I had to be willing to let go of some things. See, God began to do something within my life. But see, if I'm not willing to forsake that, I can't get this. Let me say all of this. It's kind of like your life as a container. And sometimes in order to be able to hold more, you got to get rid of some of the old, hallelujah. You got to get rid of some of the old stuff so that God can come and fill you with more. And this is what I found. Every time God fills you, He also at the same time, He expands the container. And then later on, He'll say, there's another aspect I want you to turn loose of because I want to fill you afresh and anew. How many of you say, Lord, I'm willing to forsake some old thinking and old ways and forsake, you know, the ways of the past? See, some of you are still hanging on to things that you did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, condemnation. Hear this. You need to forsake that. That's no longer a part of you and no longer a part of your character. Amen? So you got to forsake the past. The next thing is this. What you see Moses doing whenever the Lord appeared to him, he told him, you got to go and begin to prophesy to Pharaoh. So please write this down. In order to see turnaround, you got to begin to say something. Everybody say, speak to the mountain. Don't talk about the mountain. Start speaking to the mountain. Stop talking about the way things are right now and begin to speak to it and say, it's time, mountain, for you to turn around within my life. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? See, you're not going to have a turnaround as long as you keep talking about the present situation. You have to begin to speak words of faith. Begin to speak to that mountain and say, mountain, be removed. Oh, hallelujah. Son and daughter, I'm not speaking about you in the way that you're living right now. I'm declaring that you are saved. I'm declaring that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm declaring that you are delivered and set free by the power of God. Amen? Stop talking about the mountain. Start speaking to it. Paul told Timothy, he said this, Timothy, you war a good warfare with the prophecy that has went over you. War a good warfare with the prophecies that have went over you. So you got to understand every prophetic word that you have received, that is a word that empowers you. It is a weapon that you can begin to use against the enemy and begin to see turnaround within your life. See, all of these prophetic words about turnaround and God doing this and God doing that, what is it there for? It's so that you can take it, put it within your mouth, and begin to speak to the mountain and see it removed. How many of you right now in your life, you have a mountain that you need to see removed? You have a mountain. I want you to stand to your feet just real quick. Stand to your feet real quickly. And I want you to just right there where you're at. I want you to begin to speak to the mountain. I'm not going to wait till you get out of here, and I don't want you to wait till Monday. Let's go ahead and start moving it right now in the name of Jesus. And so I want you to begin to speak to the mountain. Say, mountain, be moved. Mountain, be moved. Whatever it is, sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare whatever the financial adversity is, we speak to it and we say, leave now in the name of Jesus. 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 Now give the Lord a praise right now and be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So you got to begin to speak to the mountain. You have to begin to say something. Listen, you'll never see change as long as you keep talking about where you're at right now. You got to go ahead. What I found many times, and I'll start talking to our board, and I'll start talking to our pastors, I'll start talking to our staff, and the majority of the time, what we're experiencing right now is what we began to talk about 5 years ago. Are you hearing this? It's not because I'm slow. It's because you got to start talking right now for what you want to see manifested 5 years down the road. It doesn't happen. See, because the more you talk about it, the more your faith arises, the more revelation and understanding. Why do we start talking about it right now? It's because that's what God's saying. There's things that God is saying about this church, about this ministry, about our lives. We're talking about it right now, even though we know it may not happen. Understand how I say this. It's not necessarily going to happen 5 minutes from now. But we have to talk about it now as if it already were. The Bible says that God calls those things which be not as though they what? Already were. And so you have to go ahead and begin to talk about it. There's things in board meetings that we've talked about. As a matter of fact, listen, we talked about the school long before it came into manifestation. Can I tell you, we talked about our ministerial alliance long before it actually came into manifestation. We had to wait to the right time. And there's still things that we're waiting. There's a certain timing that God has. I mean, we've known, even the two services thing. This is something we went back and forth on and back and forth on. I have sought the Lord about this and sought the Lord. And we're just basically at a point right now, we must do something. We are limiting what God can do within this church body just because of space, parking space and seats and things like that. We have scattered seats and things like that. But the reality is right now, if we had I think we got one row back there on the very, very back. If we had a family of four or five come in, you know, we would be pressed to try to find places for them to sit. And the reality is most people don't like to sit between other people. Oh, hallelujah. So what do you got to do? Well, you got to do something to expand. You got to do something. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So I'm saying we went ahead and began to talk about it and speak about it before we actually did it. And what many people don't realize is we've been talking about this since the summer. Now, I haven't been talking about it with the people within the our leadership. It's just I have a core group of people. I've been talking about this for quite some time, and I've been saying you need to pray about this. Because you know what? Although we've tried it a couple of times, we're going to succeed this time. Hallelujah. If this is the Lord, and I have more faith right now to launch out in this than I ever have before in my life. Hallelujah. And it will succeed. And I know what the Lord is saying. Listen, God's going to blow our minds here in this church body. I said he's going to blow our mind. The next thing is this. Again, we're talking about principles that promote turnaround. The next thing is this. Everybody say, warfare. Now, many times whenever you say warfare, people get the wrong idea. Warfare to many Christians is this, the devil plummeting them. The devil beating up on them. I'm really going through it, so I'm going through warfare. I'm having this attack, so I'm going through warfare. Now, I want everybody to understand this. You getting beat up by the devil is not warfare. You getting beat up by the devil is you getting beat up by the devil. Let me tell you what warfare is. Warfare is whenever you take the sword of the Spirit and you begin to lift up the high praises of God. And you take the shield of faith. Are you hearing this? And you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you don't wait for the devil to show up at your front door. You go looking for devils to kick during the day. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the kind of warfare that God has designed you to experience. Victorious warfare. Not where you're being taken advantage of. Not where you're being beat up and being tormented. I want everybody to hear this. One of the primary reasons that you're here on earth right now is because God said, I want to raise up a group of people that will torment the enemy. Look at somebody says, turn around time. Boy, I just got this. It's turnaround time. See, some of you have been living your life where the enemy is tormenting you day and night. And I'm declaring to you, just this quick, you can turn things around. Just with a revelation. I used to give this story many, many years ago. I said it a lot. It's been a long time since I shared it. But we all, when we grew up, we heard the story of the three little pigs, right? Y'all remember the story of the three little pigs? So you got a little piggy. You know, he builds his house out of hay. And then the next one, he builds his out of sticks. Next one, he builds his house out of brick. Big bad wolf knocks on the first little piggy's door, and let's just say these are charismatic piggies. Okay. Knocks on the door and says, little pig, little Christian, let me in. And so the little piggy says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I resist you in Jesus' name. No understanding of really what resist means. Resist doesn't mean that you just stand there. The word resist literally means that you begin to be aggressive against something. Are you hearing this? You're aggressive against. I'm going to show you here in just a moment. Y'all just hang with me. And so you get aggressive against something. You don't just stand there. You don't passively resist. Resisting is an action that you actually take. And so, you know, the big bad wolf, he huffs and he puffs. He blows the house in, and he runs to second little piggy's house. Then the big bad wolf comes and says, little piggy, let me in. And he says the same thing, not by the hair of my chitty chin chin. So big bad wolf huffs and puffs. He blows the house in, and they run to piggy number three. Now, listen. I said, and by the way, there's very interesting that the first little piggy made his house out of hay. The other one made his out of sticks. How many know your house cannot be built out of wood, hay, or stubble? Your house has to have a strong foundation. That's a whole other message. But we need to turn the tables. If the big bad wolf shows up, there's discernment that's operating on the inside of you. I recognize that voice. Hello? I recognize that voice. That's the voice of a stranger. Hang on just a moment. And you go to your gun rack. And you go get your double barrel shotgun. You load one side with the high praises of God. You load the other side with the word of the Lord. And then you open the door and say, thank you for making my day. And boom. Are you hearing this? A different story. A different story. You don't live as a victim. You're a victor. Hallelujah. But see, you got to aggressively fight. Whenever you look at the story of Moses, what's he doing? He shows up there at Pharaoh's palace and says, let my people go. And so he ends up throwing down his rod and it turns into a snake. The Lord told him to do it, and then he picked it up by the tail, turned back into a rod. And Pharaoh's magicians, Pharaoh said, hey, that's nothing. I've seen that happen before. And so brings the magicians in there. They do the same thing. They throw down their rods. They turn into snakes. And then what happens? Moses throws down his rod. It turns into a snake. And what does that snake do? It eats the other snakes. Let me say it like this. It's time for a throwdown. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's time for a throwdown. Witches want to show up. Ha! Listen, you don't understand what I got. You got your incantations. We got the word of the Lord that is more powerful than any force in the universe. I got the word of the Lord living on the inside of me. I'm going to begin to declare what God's word says. I'm going to begin to prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I'm declaring revival. I'm declaring restoration and reformation. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's time for a throwdown. Look at somebody and say, it's time for a throwdown. See, there must be spiritually aggressive warfare. Moses threw his rod down. You need to abandon the thinking of fatalism and embrace the understanding of your authority in Christ Jesus. See, fatalism is a philosophical doctrine according to which all events are fated to happen so that human beings cannot change their destinies. I want everybody to hear this. You can change what's going on within your life. I said you can change what's going on in your life. If you don't like it, then change it. Begin to take the weapons that God has given to you and you begin to change it by the power of the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are. They're what? Mighty through God. Mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. And every, I love the word every. He didn't say some, he said every. Would you look at somebody and say every? Look at somebody and say every means nothing is excluded. Cast it down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Sickness tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. But my weapons cast down everything that cast. Oh, you hearing this? Poverty tries to exalt itself, but hear this, my weapons cast it down and pull it down in the name of Jesus. Every high thing. Look at somebody and say, every high thing. The Bible says that whenever Moses, when he went out to the, got to the Red Sea, of course, all the people are panicking. They're going, ah! They already started complaining against Moses. Moses, you let us out here. Only to be destroyed by Pharaoh. Finally, Moses gets the people to hush. Let's see what the Lord's wanting to do here. Yes. Don't get in a panic. Just calm down. It'll be okay. Okay? Okay, Lord, I'll do that. And the Lord says, I want you to stretch out your hands and I want you to stretch out your rod. I want you to extend your hands. Pharaoh's behind you, but I want you to begin to extend your hands. This is very interesting. One of the words, that Hebrew words that's used for worship and used for praise is the word yodah, which literally means to extend the hands. Isn't it interesting that what brought final victory in the life of Moses, what brought the turnaround to where he didn't have to have another turnaround, was the fact that in the midst of adversity, God said, extend your hands. One of the greatest things that you can do in the midst of adverse situation is to lift your hands and start praising him. Lift your hands and start worshiping him. When it seems like everything is going the wrong way, you still lift your hands and you worship him. Hear this, worship will bring you into a turnaround, hallelujah. Praise will bring you into your inheritance. Amen. So he says, Moses, I want you to extend your hands. Lord Pharaoh's behind me. Extend your hands. You don't understand what's going on. Extend your hands. The people are complaining. Extend your hands. They want to stone me. Extend your hands. Oh, the boss doesn't like me. Extend your hands. Oh, the checkbook. Extend your hands. Oh, the doctor said, extend your hands. You extend your hands. You worship. You praise, regardless of what it looks like. Would you stand to your feet?
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.